Coming to you live from the city that spawned the band Tesla, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now, with a head-banging song in his heart, here's Nate.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode. Find the right button to turn down. It's the Nate Darling Show. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Nate.
What's up, Nate?
Sitting in for Christiana this week, it's our old pal Mel. Mel, welcome back.
What's up?
Hey. Mel's back, y'all. Two Jews in one room. Uh-oh.
Right? It's like old home week. I like it.
Yeah. You guys are the majority.
Finally.
Now, I think. Yeah.
We're going to rule this shit.
I don't think 50% is a majority.
But well, you and I do not equal 50% necessarily. It's like 50 and then like 25-25, so.
Sure. Whatever. Anyway, coming up this on the show this week, because we do two shows now. Coming up on this show, motherfuckers, 12 songs that you probably don't want to hear again, although some of them I don't mind.
Yeah.
Joe Francis meets Irony.
Mm.
Oh, and it went away. And a site's offering some dating help in San Francisco. But first up, how did everybody deal with the heat? It was 108 degrees in Sacramento on Saturday. Let's start with our guest, Mel. Mel, how did you deal with 108 degrees?
Well, actually, we can kill two birds with one stone because Becca and I sat and sweltered in my backyard.
In the shade.
In the shade, but it was still hotter than balls.
Holy crap, dude.
Damn right it was. Holy crap indeed.
Ted, where were you during all this?
I was at my house probably playing video games in the air-conditioned splendor of the rumpus room.
Oh, so you dealt with 108 degrees by not leaving the house.
That's generally my strategy for avoiding things I don't like in general. Just stay at home. So, yeah.
Fair point.
Easy but we guy. Did go to Vallejo on Friday, which was also hot, to try and escape the heat. We went to Six Flags Discovery Kingdom.
Oh, how were the roller coasters and such?
Well, I learned personally that I think I'm getting too old for roller coasters because I just felt kind of like battered and nauseous a lot of the time, which was a disappointment because I remember when I was a kid, I loved them. And now I'm like, oh, my God, can we just sit down somewhere? You know?
Yeah, it got pretty bad. The wooden roller coasters are just, if they're not well designed, they'd beat the hell out of you.
Even if they are well designed, I think that's the design purpose of them, is to just sort of kick you around a little bit so you know. So,
yeah, but there's no thrill in it anymore.
No,
as an adult, it just gives you a headache.
Yeah,
really?
Exactly.
You don't like it rough, Mel?
Oh.
What?
I don't like my roller coasters rough.
Like, Ted and I were literally, we were on this wooden roller coaster called the Roar, which we went on because we thought, oh, it looks quaint. Like, it won't be as, like, hardcore as the other ones. And it was so battering that Ted and I, like, we're so old, right? Like, because there's all these teenagers on the roller coaster with their hands up like, woo! And Ted and I are sitting there. I mean, it was like Statler and Waldorf. Like, we're like, this is the worst. This coaster's the worst. Like, as we're, like, flying through zero Gs, we're just, like, critiquing it, you know?
That's tape of Ted on the roller coaster.
That was the inner monologue.
Yeah, I'm generally these days pretty vomity in general. Like, driving in a car makes me sick, so... Uh-huh.
But we did have fun. I didn't mean to just talk about the crappy stuff. We saw a what would you call it? A spectacular.
A show. It was a show.
It was a show. It was called Cirque Dreams Splashtastic, which is,
Sounds amazing.
It has a lot. There's a lot in the title, and there was a lot going on in the show.
Yeah, it was overboard. It was everything. They took a Cirque du Soleil and kind of threw it on the stage of a dolphin show and confused everyone and it made it a little homoerotic, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they were like, there's jugglers and then there's like people dressed like jellyfish dancing around to like new age music and then dolphins are jumping kind of randomly. And I mean, there was so much going on that you were kind of like, what am I even looking at? I don't know.
Ted, you stand corrected. That's not a show. That is a spectacular.
A debacular, I think is what it was.
That sounds awful.
Well, there was one part.
It was really funny.
Where they had these acrobats who were actually really super talented. It was these two men, and they were kind of doing like one will stand on the other's head, and then they'll like, you know, lift one up with those, you know, I don't know. They had all his muscles strong, but they had them come out with like no shirts on, waxed chest, and then they were wearing all they had on was just these leggings in which they had cut the sides out so that their legs were bare. It was kind of like this assless chaps of leggings, like weird. I don't know. It was really strange. So it was just like two shirtless men in not complete pants doing this acrobatics to this music.
Well, they were really climbing all over one another.
It was like human statues. The Cirque du Soleil does something like
that. It was like that, but like they were just connecting every part of the body connected to the other part of the body. It was very...
That was for all the moms that did not want to be there with their children screaming. They needed to give them a little candy.
Exactly.
Oh, that's what it was.
And then they had this music playing during their routine, and it was like synthesizer music, you know, but it had this sample in the background of people going, ooh, yeah, ooh, yeah, just over and over
on and on,
to the point where we were like, who put this together for a family show? What are we looking at? You know, I don't know. It was cool. Like their acrobatics was cool, but they maybe could have worn whole pants, you know?
Well, also the thing is, you know, when we were little, we used to go to Marine World maybe, or like some of those parks, and like the dolphin show was about the dolphins like doing things, but this was like the dolphins go, dolphins go.
Ooh,
but in this instance, the dolphins were like they're playing like second fiddle to people doing all their tricks. Like they would swim around, but you wouldn't notice them, or they go and fetch hoops after someone threw them in the water. And then the grand finale, Becca, if you will.
So yeah, so the dolphins were definitely second string and kind of like off to the side. And then all the people, all the performers were dressed in these sort of nautical, like I look like a mermaid or I look like a sea creature. And the finale was this like balance beam act. And the person was dressed like a dolphin, like in this shiny dolphin costume with a fin and everything. And we figured like the real dolphins were probably just like, are you kidding me? Is this for real? You know, because they're like over on the side. Yeah.
No. Why are we even here?
Exactly. Right? They're so superfluous. We don't need dolphins for this show. So anyway.
Wow.
Six Flags, y'all. Headed out. Check it out.
Yeah.
Six Flags does the Folsom Street Fair is what it sounds like.
Ooh.
Yeah. Anyway. So I went a little bit, I don't know, unconventional or not, but I decided Friday I worked because I work on Fridays. I don't have the option to just go. Saturday, though. I got up early, and my friend Leslie and I went to the we headed toward the coast. Hit out of town at 8:30 in the morning, because if you don't, you're stuck in traffic. And the idea was to go to Muir Woods. Well, get down near Muir Woods, near the exit, and they've got the signs out by the freeway that say, Muir Woods, parking lot full, take shuttle. To which I say, fuck you, I am not taking a shuttle.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so... decide, okay, let's go to San Francisco Zoo. But as we get down closer to San Francisco, I start to see the marine lair creeping over the hills.
Ooh.
And I'm like, that is awesome. So I took the exit just before the Golden Gate, which puts you right up in the Marin Headlands. Now, there was absolutely no view at all, but the temperature was in the mid-60s in the morning. Mm. So it was just really nice. Did a little hiking through there and went to the Marine Mammal Center.
Ah, yes.
Where they take care of injured elephant seals, other seals, otters, et cetera, et cetera. Which leads me to what I teased, the adoption. I made I have the certificate of adoption right here, which they make you fill out yourself, which is really weird. I've adopted Callaway. Southern sea otters like Callaway are found along the central coast of California. They're a threatened species with only an estimated 2,000 remaining. When Callaway was rescued, she was malnourished from being separated from her mother before weaning. Volunteers became Callaway's surrogate mother, bottle feeding, monitoring swims, and helping her groom her thick fur. Sea otters have the thickest fur of any animal, with nearly 1 million hairs per square inch. Humans have that much on their entire head, unless they're tetrae. Yeah, I know, it's tough. In the wild, young sea otters are hardy eaters and may devour up to 40% of their body weight each day to maintain body heat. The center, along with the Monterey Bay Aquarium, nursed Callaway back to health. So and they have these little plastic laminated hang tags all over. You can adopt different animals for $30. It includes a membership to the Marine Mammal Center for 1 year. But you get this cool little thing with a picture of one of the animals.
Aww.
Oh, it's cute.
So
Callaway.
So I have adopted Callaway.
Can you be our new mascot? Sorry, Ace. No, I'm just kidding.
Oops. So that's the new adoption.
He's super cute.
Cute.
Love it.
My dad does that every year with the Cincinnati Zoo, so he has like hundreds of those. Every year really? He adopts a baby animal.
A different one or the same one?
A different animal every year he sponsors.
Oh, that's nice. Aww.
So your dad's better than me. Okay, I understand.
Well, yeah.
That's how it goes.
Oh, no.
the one thing I found interesting, though, is they have part of the thing they do there is a lot of education. And it's, you know, reduce, which is don't use plastic bags. Bring your own bags to the grocery store. Never buy bottled water.
Well, in the city now, they charge you, right? If you get a bag for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I go into the, I go inside to the gift shop, which is where you have to pay your adoption fee. They don't have any reusable shopping bags in there. They've got tote bags, but they don't have any reusable shopping bags. And I'm like, well, wouldn't you think they would have those? And then I look over, they've got a little cooler that has a few things in it, including bottled water. I'm like, really? Marine Mammal Center? You're going to sell the very thing that you told people to never buy.
You're setting a good example.
And you don't have, I understand you want to offer water, but offer soda instead of water. I know it's still a plastic bottle or whatever, but don't do what you just told people not to do.
Oh, it sounds like America.
Yeah, it does. So after that, headed into the San Francisco Zoo, got to see the new baby giraffe, which was unveiled last week.
About how tall is he? Or she?
Looks to be roughly 6 feet tall.
Oh, I can totally. Total.
Just a baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just barely unveiled to the public last week. And also there was a four-month-old tiger cub, too. So a couple little baby animals at the San Francisco Zoo. The other thing at the San Francisco Zoo, because zoos are a wild ground for children. Everybody brings their kids there, and that's awesome. But people, I need to talk to you. And the first person who says, you don't like kids, I'm going to punch them. I don't care if I can reach you or not, I'm going to punch you. Because I do like kids. What I don't like are their parents who have absolutely no consideration for anybody around them. For instance, I saw this one, this is going to be my example mother. She had a stroller roughly the size of Ted's car that she was pushing with one hand.
Ted drives a modest four-door car, by
the way. 2003 Mazda Protege.
Just so everyone can picture it.
Sure. And so she's got this stroller she's pushing with one hand, but it's beside her, so it's out to the side. So that's her. There's her arm length. And so it's the stroller, her arm, then her body, and then she's holding her child in her other arm off to the other side. She, her stroller, and her baby were wider than a normal car, about the same width as, let's say, an SUV. Let's say a Lexus SUV, if you will.
Ooh.
That's how much space that one woman, baby, and stroller were taking widthwise on a path in the San Francisco Zoo on a busy afternoon. And that's not the baby's fault. That's the woman's fault.
Mm-hmm.
So figure out how to keep everything in line. Or, I don't know, leave the stroller at home.
Yeah, the problem is that's people in general. They just have more crap when you have kids. But even people without kids, people don't care. They're not aware. It's like the people when you're walking and all of a sudden they just stop right in front of you.
To text or whatever.
To do whatever. They just all of a sudden you're walking in a crowd and the person just stops. And then they're shocked when you smash into them.
Yeah.
Well, I will give people have to stop every now and then. I get that. But
be aware of it, though. I try to like look behind me. If there's someone right behind me, I'll move off to the side before I stop. I don't just stop walking. I hate when you go to a ball game and people do that because it's so crowded going in and out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, keep moving, fucker. Like, yeah. What are you doing?
So that was. Yay. But the zoo was fun because I checked the temperature at the zoo and it was 74 degrees at the zoo.
Ooh.
And then I checked the temperature in Sacramento and it was 108. So, I was like, yeah. I was a little chilly. I almost needed a jacket. I did need one at the Marin Headlands, but I did not have one at the zoo.
So Nate, I saw you posted a picture from the zoo and it was many lemurs, and they were all sort of in this one ball of lemurs. Is that like normal lemur behavior? Were they trying to stay warm? Do lemurs ball up like that? What was happening?
Well, apparently they do. Mm-hmm. I happened to look into the lemur enclosure, and they've got heat lamps for them up in various structures. So the lemur, there was a couple of lemurs that were up under the heat lamp, but like five lemurs curled up into a ball, much like cats would. But it was a really tight ball. Like you could just see a few faces and like lemur tails. And I think, cause they've got like three different types of lemurs in that enclosure. And I believe they all behave a little bit differently. The brown ones were very solitary. The ones that curled up in a ball were very social. And then there's another type of just black ones that were on their own, just running around a lot.
Hey, just don't go there.
Black lemurs?
Stop it.
No.
I'm kidding.
I know.
So make sure.
And lemurs, if you don't know, here's your moment of learning, only native to Madagascar. Madagascar.
Madagascar.
Off the southeast coast of Africa.
Just like in the movie.
So there you go. So that's the adoption. That's beating the heat as best we all could.
And now it's cool and beautiful out.
It is. It's very, very interesting to see the difference a couple of days makes here in the Sacramento
just
area.
Just a couple of hours. I mean, Saturday night I went out and it was already 15 degrees cooler almost.
Yeah, that was about the time I got back into town.
Yeah, it was nice.
I was like, yeah. So I don't know if you guys have ever heard this before, but this is something that you find on YouTube a lot, where they separate the vocals from a famous song, and then you can and all the instruments really, but then you can really hear what goes into it. This one is kind of cool. You know the David Bowie and Queen song "Under Pressure."
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
So they'll play a little bit of that just to give everybody a taste. This is not Ice Ice Baby,
unfortunately.
For the people who think it is, it's not. Although he did steal this part. I'm sorry, sample.
Stop. Collaborate and listen.
Oh, God.
I'm back with a brand new addition. Something comes a hold of me tightly. Something daily and nightly. I don't know.
Flowing like a harpoon.
Like a harpoon?
That's what he says. You know.
Okay, so that's the song all mixed in with all of the music. Here's what it sounds like with just David Bowie and Freddie Mercury.
Pressure pushing down on me, pressing down on you, no man has fall. Under pressure that burns a building down, splits a family in two, puts people on streets. That's okay. It's the terror of knowing what this world.
You know, every time I hear David Bowie, I can just think of the Christmas song with him and Bing Crosby when it's really separated
that.
Out. But, I mean, listen to these vocals. And then they pause. The wrong spot. Damn you, Freddie Mercury. Okay. Hope you get AIDS and die.
Oh.
Well, I didn't give it to him.
Some riches come true.
You really hear how clean their voices are.
I know, they sound amazing.
I think that should be the test for all of the TV karaoke contests, be it The Voice or American Idol or X Factor or America's Got Talent, any of those. You really should just be pulled in and you do that and then you pull out their vocal. Let them sing with the music because you can hear the music in there a little bit, sort of like bleed through from their headphones, but then pull their vocals out and hear what they sound like because those are two of the best singers ever.
Don't allow auto-tune.
Yeah, well...
Everybody hides behind autotune these days.
To be fair, though, they do hide a little bit behind reverb in that. It's pretty heavy reverb on the voices, too. So it's not, it's pretty common with singing, but it's not like these voices are completely untreated because if you listen.
It's the terror of knowing what this world is about.
There's a lot of reverb on that. So there. It's just, some would argue the progression of music. I would argue that these guys can sing and a lot of people can't. So I thought that was kind of a cool thing.
It was really cool.
Yeah, just to hear something a little bit different. This guy, not cool, a porn actor, got a 30-day jail sentence for exposing his coworkers to syphilis. He caused a shutdown in the porn industry after knowingly exposing co-stars to it. He's headed to jail. CBS reports that Jesse Spencer, not related to the guy who was in the show House, he's 42, works under the name Mr. Marcus. He got a 30-day jail sentence, entered a plea of no contest to one count of exposing another to a communicable disease, tested positive for the STD before L.A. Measure passed, requiring male actors to wear condoms in adult films. Adult film actors are required to be routinely tested for STDs, but he did not come clean about his status. Back in July of 2012, he altered a test form to keep his syphilis a secret so he could keep working. He admitted to the Daily Beast in August that he altered the test because his doctor told him he wasn't contagious. Uh-huh.
That's a great doctor.
Now, the doctor was like, get a shot. It's curable. It's not as bad as it sounds. And I went and got a shot, and I was told to wait 7 to 10 days before you go do anything sexual. I had to cancel work. I don't think my decision-making was right around that time, but I was determined just to get back to work, get back to shooting.
All over someone's face.
And that was when everything started to go wrong. So, yeah, basically, he got 30 days. You know who got 30 days today? Chad Johnson, or Ocho Cinco.
Yeah.
Formerly of the Bengals and not the band, the Bengals, and the New England Patriots. It's the funniest thing. I don't know. Did you guys see this today?
Yeah.
I did not.
He's a ding dong, but he's always been a ding dong.
So he's in court, and
is his attorney a male or a female?
It's a male.
Okay.
His attorney is a man. So he's in court, and they reach a plea bargain agreement on a probation violation. And the judge says, Mr. Johnson, are you happy with how your lawyer is working for you? And he says, heck yeah. And then he slaps his attorney on the rear end.
Awesome.
At which point the judge, who is an uptight blonde girl.
Hey, now.
Blonde woman.
Blonde chick. That's a compromise.
Why is she uptight? Because she didn't like that? Because I have old man judges that do that in my court.
Well, they're uptight too. Her being uptight doesn't
assume a modicum of respect and want people to take the system seriously, I think. I would have been annoyed too.
Well,
because you're making a joke of it. Like, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Well, here's what she did. She's so uptight that she threw out the plea deal and sent him to jail for 30 days.
Yep. I've seen our judges do that too for people fucking around.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a difference between having a lack of respect for a court and, I mean, he's a football player who slapped his lawyer on the behind for doing a good job. I mean, in his career, that's kind of what they do.
Yeah, not in a courtroom.
Well, I mean, sure. I don't know.
That seems a bit extreme.
If TJ Houshmandzadeh were in the courtroom, he probably would have slapped him on the bottom, too. Just saying. But yeah, you kind of got to know your situation and where you are. But
know your audience. Isn't that what they say?
He's got 30 days to think about it.
Yep.
In San Francisco, this is interesting. A new dating service helps clueless dudes date marina girls. I don't know what marina girls are.
Okay, Ted explained this to me.
Well, I'm assuming it's the rich chicks that live near the ritzy part of San Francisco in the marina, so they probably have a desire to be wooed and treated like ladies of the night. That sounds wrong.
ladies at night.
Ladies at night.
Are you a successful, busy professional with limited time to plan your romantic dates? Right. If you're somehow too busy to figure out where your favorite bar or restaurant is located or what to order once you're there, a new dating service called Datebook could be for you. The newly launched service is the brainchild of Melissa Edwards and Jessica Vasquez, who says it's Marina Girl approved.
Barf.
They've set up their service to give men who can't be bothered. I don't like this writing, but it says can't be bothered to plan their dates and appearance of having made an effort from restaurant reservations to gifts and flowers. Dorky tech guys and FIDI types. I don't know what that
Financial
is.
Financial district.
Oh, very good.
Sorry, back I'm glad. That one.
Good God, I'm glad we've got Ted to translate the San Francisco stuff.
I know he's
stuff.
A San Francisco native.
Yeah. That's their target market. You get all the credit is their winky tagline. So
that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, by the way. This whole thing just made me annoyed.
Did it?
Because, well, you know, what the fuck? After the first date, you're also going to teach them how to hold a conversation, have a brain, and fuck? Because they're going to need to know that, too. So why don't you add to your business and send a surrogate over to bang the chick, too?
That's Ooh. Not a bad idea. Maybe I wonder if that would be Marina Girl approved.
Wait, but what would be the point of shelling out for the flowers, the gifts, the whatever,
exactly.
if you're not actually going to do
I mean,
that
you're just,
sexy
you're just
part?
A fake. That's stupid.
Well, here's the question.
Start a business where you're teaching guys how to act like men and gentlemen and date. Now you're giving them a skill.
Well, yes, but if you go out on a date with somebody and they go bring you to a nice restaurant that you like and they give you flowers that you like and then you have and then you carry on the conversation and you're happy with that, what's really the harm of it?
That they're an idiot that couldn't figure that out on their own, which is long term, meaning they're probably not the guy for you because they're an idiot who had to have somebody else do shit for them.
I don't know. I mean, if you're talking about busy CEOs and people who have lots of stuff to do,
then
a lot
don't
of people
date
have...
dumbass.
I think it's one thing to say, I was busy, so I tried out this service. Let's give it a try. But I think the problem comes in trying to pretend that you came up with this. They sort of are like, you'll get all the credit. I think that's a little weird because when you take someone out on a date, you're supposed to be sort of showing them, this is what I like. This is what I'm at, you know, and if it's something that you bought, that's fine. Like, just say, hey, I was busy, so I tried this thing out. But if you're like, oh, this is really my favorite restaurant, don't you love it? Like, I don't know. It just seems like you're not going to
It has that Cyrano de Bergerac feel. It's not
weird.
Real.
A little bit, but if you're a smart guy.
How hard it is to have your secretary make the reservation and order flowers, then you at least can take credit for doing most of the work.
Well, I mean, how hard is it, though, to sort of cover that? And I ask you, Ted, as a man of urban means and knowledge,
yes.
to go, I heard, I had one of my colleagues recommend this restaurant. They say it's really great.
Yeah, I mean, you could... I would look for recommendations on Yelp or whatever, ask around. So these are people kind of doing that work for you. But if you take no interest to double check and at least own it to some degree, I think you're making a mistake. But I'm not quite as opposed to it. I have some concerns if someone's hiding behind it, but the notion itself isn't bad. Although I don't know if we want to create this expectation that we as men have to bring flowers and candy and gifts and all this stuff to every day we go on.
Well, maybe if you want to date marina girls, you do.
I was thinking that too. Like, oh, this is for marina girls. Marina girls expect this like higher end level of stuff. So you have to have this date that has all of these different gifts attached.
Right.
I don't know. The whole thing just seems, I guess it's just very different from my personal dating experience. So it's hard for me to relate to the value of it.
Yeah. But just if you're interested in a lady, just make an effort to prepare something and she'll appreciate it, I think, as long as it's not horrible.
You guys, have you guys seen any of the Real Housewives shows?
Because
this sort of rings like how to land a real housewife is you have somebody make all these plans and they go, oh my God, you made plans. You brought me someplace nice, blah, blah, blah. You have a nice car, blah, 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 blah.
It's like the dates on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody else is planning an awesome date that you'll never do again in real life.
Right.
Yeah. Wait, aren't the Real Housewives, aren't they married?
Exactly. They've already got. See, that's how you would land somebody like these. Oh. They were single once.
Okay, so they don't date on the show.
No.
Some of them do, like on the OC. Joe then ended up single because she was dating Douchey McNozzlehead. I don't remember his name.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
And then he's now dating one of the other housewives who got divorced. So there's some courting going on.
So can you still be a housewife when you're single?
If they have kids, they still sort of, or they're already on the show, they let them stay.
Yeah.
And Joe didn't even have any of that. She was just a girlfriend of one of the guys that had kids, and she managed to stay on the show for seasons.
Yeah, that's...
Why do I know all of this?
I don't know. I know what you've been doing for the past 6 months since we haven't been doing the podcast together, Mel.
I'm not proud. I've been lonely. I've missed you guys. A lot of housewives.
Yeah, you've been to the housewives. Have you watched Mob Wives, though? Now, that's the penultimate... in reality wife show.
I can't because Deadliest Catch is back on.
Oh, that's true.
Very busy.
It is. Dexter's coming back on, too.
We started last season yesterday. So.
Of Deadliest Catch?
Of Dexter, because we're on Netflix, okay. So we're always a season behind.
Oh, I see. Netflix. Yeah, new Dexter starts at the end of the month, so I'm very excited about that. Now, speaking of weird things, a teenager says United Airlines did nothing to stop her creepy masturbating seatmate. A teenager told a disturbing story of how United Airlines refused to do anything about a passenger masturbating across the aisle from her on a cross-country flight from New York to L.A. Monica Amestoy, who was 17 at the time and is 18 now, was a high school student flying back from a debate tournament on the East Coast in October. She's now being represented by...
Gloria Allred.
Exactly.
Oh, what are the odds? For free.
Yeah, just out of the goodness of her heart. Let's take a quick listen to the press conference just to hear some of the... Let me turn up Gloria here, sorry.
Sky Marshal. Were there any Sky Marshals on that flight? We don't know whether there were or not.
When you said that United Airlines has refused to respond to your petitions, what kind of response have you gotten from them?
Well, we'll just say that the response was not one that caused Monica's parents or Monica to feel that United was taking it seriously. There's so much that United could have done and failed to do under the circumstances. For example, we think they could have reseated Monica. I think Monica...
Or they could have gone over and said, hey, dude...
Stop yanking it.
Yeah, stop yanking it. Because they go over and bother people on planes all the time. Like, sir, you're going to need to turn off that electronic equipment. Sir, you can't do that here. Sir,
turn off
I'm
your
have
phone,
to...
but you can keep your penis in your hand.
Yeah, sir, I'm going to have to ask you to put your seatbelt back on. Sir, I'm going to ask you to not stand in the aisle. Sir, I'm going to ask you to not queue up for the bathroom. But this guy's whacking it in the aisle seat, and nobody says a word? Really?
Just drop a blanket on his lap, at least. Come on.
I don't.
Or a hot drink.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he had one of those neck pillows around his Johnson.
Oh, man.
Just to conceal it.
I don't know.
And every time the sky waitress would come by, he'd duck it down.
I mean, it must have been an empty plane if no one else was. I'm kind of trying to picture what the circumstance was that she's across from someone.
You wouldn't really need an empty plane. You just need a mostly empty row. If they're the only two people in the row, who else would see? Because who looks over the seat?
I guess.
Well, you would see, if you're in the aisle, across, if you're behind her, you would probably see somebody jacking off. Yeah. I'm betting.
At least the shoulder going up and down.
Yeah. Plus, if you're behind him.
And that guy
him,
shrugs a lot. Yeah. I don't know what's going on over there.
If you're behind him, like, why is this guy
either
bothering?
Either has Tourette's or he's yanking it.
Could be.
So disgusting.
Any of those things are possible. But yeah, so Gloria Allred. Good luck, Gloria.
It's, at least when I did it on a plane, I had the courtesy to go into the bathroom with someone.
Hey now.
Hey now.
Well, then you weren't masturbating, were you?
I wasn't. I was joining the Mile High Club.
There you go. All right.
Did you get a
the Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or Tool.
Whoa. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. But first up in Cooler Tool, getting thrown in jail for lying about your syphilis. Ted, Cooler Tool.
Well, that's an oddly strange question, but should be punished for putting all your coworkers at risk because they're an idiot. So, yeah, he's a tool, so being thrown in jail is cool, but not, you know, yeah.
So you're going cool then?
Yeah, I guess so. It's cool.
Becca, what say you?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, jail is tool, lying is tool, syphilis is tool. The whole situation seems tool to me.
Yeah, he did have syphilis in his tool. Little weepy situation. Mel, what say you?
Well, you know, I am going to start out by saying you don't hear a lot about people getting syphilis these days.
No,
so
it's
that's kind of interesting and neat.
It's an old timey STD.
Yeah, so that part's kind of cool.
It's refreshing.
Retro cool.
But I have to say tool because my dad works in the area of communicable diseases and lawmaking, and he's the one that decides about reporting and stuff. So I have to say he's a tool and he should have gone to jail because you can't do that to other people. It's
yeah,
not right.
So it's cool to send him to jail. It is, but here's the problem with that. The jails are overcrowded with people who pose an imminent threat to other people, and they're being released onto the streets.
Well, so, he'll give him all syphilis while he's there.
He might. Yeah, I don't know. How does that work?
Karma, baby.
How does that work in the hierarchy of... I would love to see that episode of Oz.
That's horrible.
Oh, my.
How does that work out? What are you in for? Syphilis. That's like a...
So I'm sorry, pardon my ignorance, but if someone has syphilis, is it really just a shot to get it away? So it's just like giving someone a cold.
Mel, you're the...
She's nodding her head.
Yes,
not really giving someone a cold,
but... if you don't get it treated, you can die eventually, right? Like,
oh,
it'd be
a horrible,
really serious.
Horrible death.
Yeah, right. Basically, it turns into a brain disease.
Oh,
yeah.
I understand it gets bad, but
it's very treatable.
I'm just trying to figure out the, you know, whether 30... I don't know. It's a case that's interesting.
Yeah, it's basically putting your coworkers at risk for no good reason.
Right.
All right.
Considerate.
Up next in Cooler Tool, getting professional help to plan your dates. Becca, what say you?
It's cool if you don't lie about it, if you just admit it and make it like a gift.
Ted?
I'm going to pretty much agree with Becca. I mean, you might want a little help if you're making a really special date and you don't have time. You ask your secretary or someone to help you, but otherwise it's pretty tool. Just plan your own dates, guys. It's not that hard.
Mel?
Tool. It's douchey, it's lame, it's pathetic, and it's lazy. Get a fucking life and get a real date or you don't deserve a girl anyway. Keep it in your pants and go fuck yourself.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you.
Well, you're wrong.
I say it's cool because you have to know what you're going after. And if the girl you're going after is going to respond to that, it's like you're fishing with the right bait. It's the difference
if
between
you can't keep up with her and have to hire somebody else to do it for you. Let them date her.
No. You can just keep hiring people to come up with ideas. That's how it works. Listen, if you go deep sea fishing, you don't use the same worm that you'd use to go fishing in the river.
But
that's
wait a second.
All I'm saying.
What are we fishing for? You're not, like, trying to get an array of everything in the sea. You're trying to find someone you relate to. So don't, like, game the system.
No. They're trying to get marina girls. They're trying to get a specific type of girl. And if you want to get a certain type of girl...
Con her into it.
No, you don't have to con her, but you find out what that type of girl likes, and then you get in there, and then you...
See, I agree with you.
And then at a certain point, she realizes, well, I might as well just settle. I'm perfectly okay with this.
If you want that kind of girl, then you learn what that kind of girl wants, and you master it. You don't have somebody else do it for you. If you go, I need to do these things to win a girl over, then that's what you... Just like, I mean, like, you know the tricks. You know what girls want. We've had these conversations before. You know the right things to say.
Sure.
It's the same thing. If you want a certain kind of girl, then you know, well, I need to drive a certain kind of car. You don't hire a car service every time. You get the fucking car that gets the girl you want.
Well, maybe so, but I don't have to waste my time running like an important company. And I'm also not a tech nerd who might not have any sort of experience with girls and might not really know. But I would argue this, to counter your point, once you break that ice and you've been on a few dates where somebody has fun, then you can get to know them as a person and you don't have to worry about the trappings because you know that's already taken care of. And finally, in Cooler Tool, masturbating. Mel?
What? What's the question?
Masturbating, cooler tool.
Amazing.
Becca?
Cool.
Ted?
It's cool.
We have a quorum. It's cool.
This is the first time we've cooler tooled way past the music.
Yeah, well, it's going to happen occasionally.
I got all heated up.
I know. That was a hotly disputed
Nate gets me fired
tool.
Up.
Yeah, I do.
Baby.
You know, if there's a woman who really has these expectations, that, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're... I can't tell if the marina girls are expecting more than... more being un... I'm expecting more than they should expect from their men who are wooing them. You know, like I expect a man to spend $200 on dinner. I expect a man to bring me flowers. I expect a man to do this and that if he wants to get me. I don't know.
Oh, please. If he works in the Phi die, he's going to drop money. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't say the Phi die. Do people really say that?
I've never heard that. No idea.
Anyway, yeah.
But, I mean, is it really any different than, let's say you're a guy that you go out on dates and it's like, okay, well, if after a certain amount of time there isn't any sexual contact, then I'm out.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think when you realize, I would think a woman feel the same way. If there's no chemistry, you don't, what's the point of
keep
on dating?
But you're doing the work yourself. You're not sending someone else on the dates to find out if there's chemistry.
No. I'm not saying you're not sending anybody on your dates with those. I'm just saying you're not having to do the legwork of, oh, would this be a good restaurant? Oh, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. Listen,
lazy.
If you cover, yeah, it is. It is. It's no. It's called an effective use of your time.
Meh.
It's what busy people do, Mel. This week, people who are into kinky sex may be psychologically healthier than those who are not.
I knew that.
According to a new study, researchers found that people who are involved in BDSM, which is bondage, discipline, sadism, and masochism, scored better on certain indicators of mental health than those who did not bring kink into the bedroom. That's from Live Science. The study, which was published in the Journal of Sexual Medicine in May, surveyed 902 people who practice BDSM and 434 people who prefer so-called vanilla or non-kinky sex. Each person filled out questionnaires regarding their personalities, general well-being, sensitivity to rejection, and style of attachment and relationship. The participants were not aware of the purpose of the study. Aha, so it was a double-blind study or a double-blindfolded study.
Oh!
Despite past assumptions that BDSM proclivites, ooh, big words, might be correlated with previous abuse, rape, or mental disorders, research has shown that they're not. The survey found that kinky people actually scored better on many indicators of mental health than those who didn't practice. According to Reuters, BDSM-friendly participants were found to be less neurotic, more open, more aware of, and sensitive to rejection, more secure in their relationships, and have better overall well-being. So,
Melix Pradden's nodding her head. I just want to say this. Oh, yeah.
She's raising her arms in the air like victory fists right now. Yeah.
So that, I mean, what's to be taken from this? I mean, it's kind of an interesting.
Everybody go out and buy a flogger.
Yeah.
Well, to me, it seemed logical to me because I feel like if you are into that kind of sexual activities, you need to be able to communicate, negotiate with people. You have to know what you want. You're going after what you want. Like, there's a therapeutic aspect to it and a bonding aspect. I don't know. There's a lot of things that it takes to create that kind of experience for yourself. And so to me, I would feel like people who know themselves and other people well enough to generate that probably are pretty healthy in the brain.
It's so damn hot.
Seems like
no?
Seems like you'd be someone who'd want to be able to. I'm not sure about this, but I can imagine some people who are masochistic who just want to do the masochistic stuff, and they might just feel a little sick and twisted, or someone who just wants to take the abuse. And I don't know. I'm just wondering if there's they decided if these are people doing both sides of it or just one side of it.
I think you need to definitely look at, you know, healthy lifestyle people, not people that are, you know, people that are looking to hurt or be hurt. Just in and of itself, but if you're looking at people that are into that sort of a different loving lifestyle, that are having different sorts of relationships that are functional, I do think it takes communication and trust and openness and stuff that a lot of people that maybe aren't open to those sorts of things aren't as open to communicating their sexual needs, what they want, what they expect, and you know, if you can't communicate in the bedroom,
And I think you use the wrong word. When you said abuse, it makes it sound like what's going on is abusive. It's not.
Oh, not all right.
That's sort of the...
There's a lot of contracts, negotiation, and agreement involved. You know, usually, you know, not usually, almost 100%, the submissive or the person that... bondage role or in a dominant submissive relationship, they're actually the ones making all the rules in the contract. They're actually the ones that are in control.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the one who is the dominant one in the relationship, your job is basically to please your submissive in whatever sort of gets them excited, be it being spanked, being tied up, or whatever it might be. And there's a responsibility that goes along with that. So it's very interesting that the studies come out, because there was that sort of thing. It's like, oh, well, this must be because of X, Y, and Z or whatever. And it's not. It's because people like to try different things and different things excite them. Now, there are certain things that are just kind of off the deep end and
in the deep end.
Well, I mean, you see things where people like get hung by fish hooks through their skin and like super extreme sort of things, and it's like that might be a little bit more, but then I mean, you know, where does the scale slide? And if you go to this Folsom Street Fair, apparently you can see it on the street.
Yeah, there's something for everybody, and consenting adults and honesty and trust and not breaking the law and so on and so forth. I mean, I think there's, you know, the spectrum is wide of what people enjoy.
And I think that was kind of what launched the whole 50 Shades of Grey thing, the book, the series of books, because there was obviously an underlying current of people who were interested in that sort of thing, but never had sort of a mainstream way of expressing it. It was always this weird pulp fiction sort of thing with the gimp. Bring out the gimp was pretty much everybody's. Yeah, sort of thing. Your only exposure to that was, you know, Bruce Willis and Marcellus in big red ball gags.
I mean, it's certainly not something most people could talk about openly at a party in mixed company. Like, this is what I'm into.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's when you start new relationships with people, there's always that question. It's like, okay, what are you into? Where is the line drawn? And usually, it's this slow progression. It's very rarely somebody comes out and goes, I like to be tied up and spanked.
Do you know what I usually do?
What's that, Mel?
Second or third date, I just demand that we rent the movie Secretary with James Spader.
Oh, that's a good movie.
And then I just say, yeah? Yeah?
Yeah, huh? Second or third date, really, that early?
You got to know. I mean, otherwise you're wasting your time.
If it is that important to you, yeah.
Ted, have you seen that movie?
We should probably watch it.
I recommend it.
I think we should.
I think it's on Netflix.
And it is. And you'll have a strong reaction one way or the other. You'll either see it as, that's awesome that people found a different way to love and have a relationship that works for them, or you'll go, they're both sick.
You know what's really weird is I'm reasonably kinky myself. I found that movie kind of boring.
Oh, yeah. Because,
yeah, I mean, I understand. I understand the whole thing behind it, and where it's much more, because it's so drawn out, it's much more titillating for women. But I just got kind of bored. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. She's bringing him the files again. All right.
The files with typos.
Right. She's making typos on purpose so she'll get spanked.
Oh.
So it's an interest. It's Maggie Gyllenhaal and James Spader. So it's a very mainstream cast, but an independent movie. So you can sort of check that out and sort of change maybe your perspectives of what's going on there. But very interesting study.
For me, half the thrill of that movie is the fashion. I'm just like, pencil skirts all day long. I don't know. Yes. I never have an excuse to buy that many secretary clothes, but dang.
Right.
So, yeah, go ahead. Tie each other up. Spank each other. Do what you like. It's fun. Now, Joe Francis. This amuses me.
Oh, okay. Let's switch gears fast here.
We're going to switch. Joe Francis is very upset because someone might leak a sex tape of him.
Isn't that what he does?
Does anyone want to see that? People will just revenge watch it, right? Like all the girls gone wild. Yeah. Girls will just screw you.
Yeah, it'll be. I mean, we had it on the show of him basically yelling out at people from the Hollywood Reporter, but that anybody who criticizes him has a small penis and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, someone got their hands on a sex tape of Joe Francis threatening to leak it, and he's mad. So apparently he's also learning the term of irony and how that feels. He created the company whose sole purpose was to trick women into doing sexual things while they're drunk, videotape them, and then sell the videotapes to the world. And it's not to say that those women don't have the autonomy and that some of them aren't perfectly fine with the fact that their naked breasts or butts or thong encased vaginas are on display, but some of them are not cool with it, and it appears that Joe is now experiencing the very same thing. According to TMZ, the sex tape in question was stored on his girlfriend's iPad, which was stolen from her bag at LAX. Why would you have that on your iPad?
I do not know.
To watch on the airplane.
Oh, fair point.
While you're masturbating.
Like I put that
to an underage girl.
Yeah. It comes around.
It apparently has footage of several different sexual encounters. His lawyer, David Houston, told TMZ, "It's not only unfortunate, but it's a crime. As such, this office will take all necessary steps to determine who, in fact, has done this and who is attempting to distribute the video. When we catch you, we will see that you are prosecuted to the fullest extent of both the criminal and civil laws." Yeah. Good luck with that, jerk.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, I get it. There's a difference between stealing someone's personal property versus conning dum-dums in public to do something that's technically not illegal.
Yeah.
I get it. I don't like him, but I get it. I get the difference.
I enjoyed the delicious irony aspect of it because he's such a dick.
Yeah,
he is a dick.
He is such a dick.
I think on a karmic scale, that's how justice kind of works out, whether it's not our justice scale system here in the States. It's, I don't know.
We've gone to karma. So,
we've gone to karma, yep.
Karma has become our justice. That would be really cool if karma was our justice system.
Well, it really is. We just don't know it.
Not in Florida.
Ah.
We'll find out. Instead of having the blind lady justice, we've got Vishnu or whoever hanging out in front of the courthouse. So promised you this at the head of the show, the 12 songs that you never want to hear again. Although I found myself liking some of them. So
I bet I'm going to like
too.
All of them. I love catchy
you
pop
might.
Songs.
None of them were like my 100% hate songs.
Yeah, this is number
12. They're all fine.
This is number 12.
I'm not sick of this one yet.
No,
me neither.
I like this song. It gets played to death on every movie. It's always, you hear it. But
it's Smash Mouth and All Star at number 12.
Who's the source on this again?
Is it BuzzFeed?
Okay. It's BuzzFeed.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So it wasn't us guys.
No.
I mean, they're all songs that are played quite a bit.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So this one, none of us are sick of.
Yeah, no. We're good.
So, number 11. Yeah. Sarah McLachlan.
Now, I really liked this song when it came out, but now it just makes me think of like abused shelter animals. So it's not my... I don't enjoy it as much anymore.
I never want to hear this one again. So there we go.
I still like it, but it makes me think of the commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just see poor dogs with their big eyes going, why did he hit me?
I know, it's terrible. Okay, I didn't know it until you started playing it and my hips started moving that I actually really still like this song. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's the exact same experience. once in a while. On my Spotify mix, though.
I heard mariachis play this a while ago, like a live mariachi band, and it was fantastic. So,
They're 2 for 3 with me, so there's that. Let's skip ahead a little bit in this one so we can hear a little bit of this. I didn't recognize the name, Vitamin C.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. I feel like this song isn't really played anywhere except graduations, is it?
No, I hear it a fair amount. I just didn't recognize what it was. Let me skip ahead a little bit into the song. Once you get to the hook, I've heard this a fair amount, so they're pretty good with me.
I don't remember this.
I think
song.
I've heard it. This. Yeah,
I don't really care if I hear it again.
I still love this.
Yeah, I think I would rather be disemboweled than listen to this entire song.
Skip it.
It's so bad.
I used to sing this to somebody.
Oh, good.
Aww.
Is punishment?
No.
Okay.
Part of the BDSM
thing. The full blush of Titanic, like when it was brand new and we were all into it and I saw it in the theater a couple times, I was actually in like a long distance relationship. And so it was like totally romantic to, be like, oh, someday we'll be together. But now, I guess it's a little.
The romance is
It's Celine Dion, the love theme from Titanic.
It is fun to sing in the car still. I don't care. I belt this shit out.
I would love to hear that more than I would love to hear her sing it. Call
this
the act
of mating. Yeah. This song, I didn't recognize this by the title either. Human beings and animals that you should know
about. I didn't recognize the title either, but yeah, they play this a lot on 94.7, so I still hear it all the time.
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah, it's the Bloodhound Gang and Bad Touch. You'll recognize it when we hit the... It's number 7 on the list of songs we never want to hear again. I don't mind it that much, but once... it's one of those things that one listening lasts me for a good year and a half, 2 years, and then I'm fine.
Right, because it's kind of a novelty song with a lot of jokes in it, and yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
this
it was
the second one now that I have never heard before.
You really? Oh, I guarantee you've heard it. When we get to the hook, you'll know what I'm talking about. We're almost there. Siskel and Ebert, yeah. Smothered like my Waffle House hash browns.
Hash browns.
Here we go.
Nope, not ringing a bell for Mel.
Wow.
No, I don't know that.
Mel, where were you in 1998? What were you doing?
I don't know. I drunk, I guess.
Number 6 on the list, it's Leanne Rimes and How Do I Live.
Now, this was the one that I never heard.
I love this song.
I don't know this song at all.
And everybody's covered it.
Really? It's like completely escaped my radar.
Yeah, this got played a lot on the radio. Because it got country airplay, it got other airplay too.
I like this song, I have no problem with it.
I don't know it at all.
I'm sentimental, I guess. But.
Yeah, it's sort of a sappy sort of thing.
Yeah.
How about this one? How do you feel about this song? This would be number...
Oh.
I like this song.
I think Ted and I disagree on this song.
Oddly enough, it's song number 5 on the list of 12 songs you never want to hear again. It's Lou Bega and Mambo number 5.
It's a stupid song, but it's fun. I don't know.
I wouldn't hate it if it wasn't for the lyrics. Like, it's catchy and it's fun, but just the whole, like, a little bit of this girl and that girl thing is, like, to me, not my favorite.
Yeah, I have the same feel towards the song as I do Raspberry Beret, which is like about a dumb girl that he's having sex with.
Oh, I
yeah.
love Raspberry Beret. The kind you find in the secondhand store.
My inner feminist, I guess, comes out.
No, I get it.
It's all consensual. It's all good.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but she's like not very smart, and yeah, I don't know.
You know, there's lots of women here, and they're just doing this. Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, we're nothing but mammals, so we should do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
It's true.
With various partners.
It's true.
I mean, the whole Raspberry Beret itself proves that she's not that smart, because when it's warm, she doesn't wear much more, but she keeps the, like, woolly beret on. Like, who leaves the beret on and takes other things off, you
right?
know?
Hipster girls.
Hot.
Yeah, hipster girls do.
Maybe marina girls do, and that's why I want a womb.
I love the fact that we've discovered that this appeals to the inner roving man in Ted.
Oh, no.
This one I sort of disagreed with. It's number 4.
I like it.
I do too.
I would feel happy if I heard this when I was driving around on a
how
sunny
bizarre.
Day.
Yeah, OMC and How Bizarre.
I don't know why they picked this one either.
You yeah, want to know the rest, hey.
Probably because it sounds a lot like All Star.
No, I like it. It's
bias.
Happy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a cool song, little beat in there. Number 3, this song, I absolutely love this song. I could hear this song on a loop for about 20 minutes.
I'm kind of embarrassed, but I like this song too, and I was like, I didn't even realize it was like not cool to like this song until I saw it on this list.
Well, yeah.
It's BuzzFeed. I don't know.
Are they the authorities?
They say they are.
Okay, well then they must be.
Yeah. So.
So far, I like all of these. I don't care.
It's
don't
crazy,
know.
Crazy Town and Butterfly number 3. Number 2.
Who? Okay, so when I was in India. Some of my Indian friends like this song, and they always sang it, "Who is letting dogs out?" which I really loved.
Okay, that's adorable.
That's wow. fantastic.
Oh.
This is, I get sick that every movie, whenever anything crazy happens, this song has to come on. That's why I might get sick of it, but I don't hate it.
It makes me think of summertime.
Yeah.
I've had quite enough of it.
It's not like you want to punch a wall when that song comes on,
right?
I never
get tired of this song. I don't care.
Yeah, this song of all of these songs, I think, was the most on everywhere for like it was like the theme of the summer it was out.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It got ridiculous.
Santana and Rob Thomas in Smooth.
Sorry, another summertime song.
My inner DJ came out there for a second. Sorry. Yeah. So
it's ubiquitous, but for a song that I've never sought out that I've probably heard hundreds of times, it's not as bad as like some things that really make me crazy. Like, it's fine if it's on.
Yeah, it's not bad. I did grow quite tired of it, but that's it. So that's the 12 songs that you never want to hear again, which just leads me to believe that BuzzFeed doesn't necessarily know anything.
We're a very different demographic, I think. We liked all those songs. And then last week when we were talking about, I don't know if you heard the show last week, Mel, but we were talking about which bands do we want to go on tour with.
Oh, man.
And we had to rationalize, like, why, not just which bands do you like, but who would you actually want to travel with, like, day after day. And I think at least three of the four of us factored in the fact that we go to bed early and we didn't really want party bands, you know, like
that wasn't me. I was the fourth.
No, your rationale was really good, though. He picked The Who because The Who would go to bed early and then he would get the groupies.
Yeah, that's right.
See, I know that's a tricky one because I could immediately think of like both extremes because I'm like Pearl Jam because they're smart and they're interesting. I'd want to have conversations and just learn from them. But then I'm such a Motley Crue fan, and I just want to hang out with them. And they're getting so old now, they probably do actually go to bed at a pretty reasonable hour. I mean, Mick Mars is like dust.
Oh, man.
Yeah, is he the one that was dating Kat Von D for like a minute? No. It was Nikki Sixx. Sorry. Nikki Sixx was the one who was dating Kat Von D. I don't know what's going on with Kat Von D since she lost her reality show. I feel lost without Kat Von D. And knowing
she lost Jesse James, and that was the last we ever heard of her.
No, she was dating Mick Mars after that.
Nikki was before.
Oh, Nikki Sixx, sorry.
Nikki was before that. He was actually on the show.
Yeah.
He was on that. She was doing their planning for their engagement or his birthday or something on Miami Ink a long time ago.
Do you think Sandra Bullock like secretly ruined her ability to have a show?
Only with bad karma did herself.
That's right. It was karma. It was the Vishnu of the Hollywood world.
See, it's not a Jew out there. It's a Buddhist pulling the strings.
A Judist.
Oh, okay. Yeah. A Buju. A Buju.
Do that.
A Hindu. I'm sorry. Not a Buju. That's a whole different thing.
That sounds vaguely racist. I don't know why, but it does.
That's because I just lumping them all together.
Yeah, so.
You know why.
Oh, we do know why. Hold on.
I was all ready for the Florida
corner. I know.
Corner.
I was too, except the internet came and bit me in the ass again.
Oh, internet.
We hate you.
Well, it's autoplay, really. When you pop up a site and suddenly something starts to autoplay.
Oh, I hate that.
After the delay.
Zuckerberg fix that shit.
Zuckerberg fixes nothing. Let me do this for a second here. We'll get to this.
Not going to be watched.
Can't trust Zuckerberg at all. Can't.
Or Ballmer.
Yeah. Or any of those people. Yeah.
Those people.
Yeah, Mel, we started doing this thing called Florida Corner about a month or so ago. So
Does
I think
that mean
you'll
you're
enjoy
leaving it. Ohio alone already?
No.
Sometimes Florida Corner is in other states. but I don't know if it's been in Ohio specifically.
It has.
Nate loves to pick on Ohio.
Well, they make it so easy.
It's true.
Because they do it themselves. All right, we'll start out with a Florida. We'll start with the Florida man in the news. Florida man was burned while siphoning gasoline with a shop vac. That's right. A man suffered severe burns on Sunday evening while using a shop vacuum to siphon gasoline from a vehicle. Palm Bay Police spokeswoman Yvonne Martinez reports that the flash fire occurred around 7:15 p.m. According to Martinez, a witness saw his neighbor on fire running out of the house. That's not funny at all.
Okay, wait, he was in the house siphoning gas?
Family members took the victim to the hospital. Palm Bay firefighters put out the fire in the garage, which caused an estimated $20,000 in damage. The investigation revealed the man was siphoning gasoline from the car with the shop vac with the garage door closed. Martinez says the fire appears to be the result of gasoline fumes accumulating inside the closed garage, which were then ignited by the vacuum.
Oh,
why are people
wow.
so dumb?
Because it's Florida.
Oh, you deserve to burn, Ding Dong. What a dummy.
Ding Dong.
The only good thing about that is it was, in fact, their own car. It was not a stolen car. So, up next, because we like to be equal opportunity here, the next story is about a Florida woman, Mel.
36-year-old Barbara Van Patten is facing multiple charges for her alleged drunken behavior. Hernando County deputies say she was swimming in a restricted area of Wikiwachi Park with a friend and her friend's two children. But when the park manager arrived, he says Van Patten flipped their canoe over, throwing everybody into the water. The park manager rescued everyone and put Van Patten in his canoe, where he says she slapped him and called him names. Deputies had to forcefully drag her into a patrol car.
I feel bad for her.
Do you think she flipped the canoe? Like, did she have drugs in the canoe or what? Like, the story is confusing to me. Like, she saw a policeman and then, like, upended her canoe and her whole family. Was it to hide her bong? What was the deal?
And I love that they pulled her into the canoe and then she just insulted him.
She called him names. What names do we think she might have called him?
Ding dong.
You're so ugly.
Stupid head.
I'm so stupid. I was a little disappointed.
I think she was just drunk and an idiot, and she probably just did it because she was tussling around or being stupid. Though it made me think of there's a famous case of one of those black widows who had her son was in a wheelchair. She took him on a canoe ride and then flipped the canoe so he'd sink so she'd get the money on the insurance policy, and that's what it made me think of.
That's
I can't think
horrible.
Of her name right now. But
that sounds like
she killed
from...
like a couple of husbands and her son.
Oh my God. That sounds like something from like a 50s movie or something. Like that's what you would sink someone in a canoe in a movie like that. Yeah. Like not in real life. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Let me see. I've been a little disappointed with Amanda Bynes this week. She hasn't really called anybody ugly.
Amanda.
I don't know if she heard that we were starting a new segment on the show called Who's Amanda Bynes Calling Ugly this week?
That's probably the only reason she would have changed.
Maybe she'll call us ugly if we... You follow her on Twitter, right?
I do.
Do you ever like, tweet to
Maybe
her?
Maybe you should alert her to our new segment.
Like, we need you, Amanda.
Well, what, alert her to the fact that she's letting us down?
Yes.
Yeah.
Our show relies
like,
on
we
you.
We started a new segment on our show, and you didn't call anyone ugly this week. And then maybe she'll be like, you guys are ugly. And we'll be like, ah, victory.
She's actually been really quiet this week. The last thing she said was on the 8th of June. It's an honor for me to follow you on Twitter. If I don't follow you, it's because you're not worth following. Oh. So that was sort of an overall, you're all ugly comment. So.
Right. I think it's time. What a cunt.
She, yeah, well, she is.
When not, Christiana's not here, the C word comes out.
I don't even know who Amanda Bynes is, but I hate her now.
She was a child star who's taken to Twitter to call people ugly.
She's kind of following the Lindsay Lohan path, you know, of just kind of drug use and plastic surgery and bad life decisions. But yeah, she has a tendency to tweet and just call other celebrities ugly.
And her dad.
Charming.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Classy.
Well, I mean, she's...
And her account gets hacked a lot and people say mean things.
Like Amy's baking company.
Exactly.
Hackers.
I'm obsessed with that story.
That was her whole thing. Was well, she wasn't calling all these people ugly. It was that her account was hacked.
Like every day.
So apparently now that her account is unhacked, that's sort of stopped that. This was an interesting story from the Republic of Virginia, which has also been the hum of a corner. E.W. Jackson, he's the Republican candidate for lieutenant governor there. He has a lot of opinions. Some of them, especially on gays, like they are icky. Honestly, though, sometimes they are. Some of them are, just like anybody else.
Some are the straights, yeah.
Just like anybody else. Gays
sometimes
can be icky.
I'm icky.
Yeah, of course. Now, those have made him more famous than the other candidates for lieutenant governor. Last week, we learned he has some interesting ideas on yoga. As the National Review's Betsy Woodruff, reports, Jackson warns that yoga can put you at risk for satanic possession. That's in his 2008 book, so this has been sitting around for 5 years, but we've just dug it up. The book is entitled 10 Commandments to an Extraordinary Life, Making Your Dreams Come True. This is an excerpt. When one hears the word meditation, it conjures an image of a Maharishi yoga, talking about finding a mantra and striving for nirvana. The purpose of such meditation is to empty oneself. Satan is happy to invade the empty vacuum of your soul.
That's fantastic.
Let me repeat that for people who didn't hear it.
Sorry, I laughed too hard.
No, that's fine. Okay. Satan is happy to invade the empty vacuum of your soul and possess it. That is why people who serve Satan without ever knowing it or deciding to, but no one can be a child of God without making a decision to surrender to him. Beware of systems of spirituality which tell you to empty yourself. You will end up filled with something you probably don't want.
I kind of love it because yoga does suck and I'm not very bendy.
Oh, man.
I hate yoga. It hurts.
Oh, I love yoga. And I mean, I think the whole idea of like emptying yourself, that's extremely oversimplified, obviously. But it is kind of a funny. I guess, what are you supposed to fill yourself with? Jesus, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and faith and prayer. But I mean, shockingly, that Pastor Jackson would have an issue with that. So
it's worse than D&D, folks.
I've heard that before. Yeah, because yoga, because its origins are not Christian, so therefore,
right?
Yeah.
He is a pastor. He's never held elected office. If Virginia Republicans are looking to reach out to moderate suburban voters after their state voted for Obama a second time, he's not helping. Mm-mm. He's compared Planned Parenthood to the KKK, said gays are, quote, frankly, very sick people, and that homosexuality, quote, poisons culture.
I like him.
His running mate and state attorney.
He's a cunt.
He yeah. is.
His, good one, honey.
his running mate, Ken Cuccinelli, doesn't want to be associated with his comments. He's got to defend his own statements, and he's going to be go about doing that. But we all run our own race, he told the Washington Post. But the National Review ticks through a few issues that show Jackson surprisingly moderating on. He wouldn't support any sort of ban on gay sex. He would oppose a constitutional amendment naming Christianity as America's official religion. So he's kind of a conundrum.
Wow, that's something when your running mate says, well, we're all running our own race here. Like, you know, it's like, no, that you're on a ticket together.
Yeah, I don't know how the attorney general and the lieutenant governor are on the same ticket, but either way.
Oh, maybe I misunderstood. I'm sorry.
No, that's what it says. So oh, okay. I don't know. It's Virginia. They're
same
very,
party?
Very strange there. So that's that. Hey, by the way, if you if you'd like to support the show, there's two ways that you can do it that don't cost a thing. First off, if you like what we do here, tell a friend. Just say, hey, listening to this podcast, it's free, it's awesome, it's on twice a week, new shows Wednesday and Friday when you wake up. That's one way you can help us out. The other way is, if you're going to go to Amazon, if you're going to shop Amazon anyway, before you go there, go to natedarlingshow.com, click the Shop Amazon tab, or any of the ads that say Amazon on them. And it'll bring you right to Amazon.com. They will kick us a percentage of whatever you buy. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and it helps support the show. And the best part is, it sticks it to the man, because Amazon doesn't make as much money.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you can do that. So one of those two ways is a great way to help support the show.
You can buy the satanic yoga videos on Amazon.
It's true. You can also buy that book if you'd like. Just go right through... NateDarlingShow.com, click Shop Amazon, and help out the show.
They have amazing access to BDSM stuff, too.
Sure.
So if you need whips, chains, handcuffs, or floggers, they've got it.
Yeah, absolutely. Or if you'd like pet supplies, if you've got pets that you love and want to take care of, you can order your pet supplies there.
Something for your new adopted otter, perhaps?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Otter Pops?
I don't think otters eat Otter Pops. But
everyone
maybe.
Eats Otter Pops. How dare you?
Do they have floggers for your pets in case your pet wants to be loved?
Well, I don't think pets can legally consent to that, Ted, so I'm going to go no.
Fine.
But nice try.
I thought they had everything on Amazon.
They do.
So?
But you can't flog your pet.
I
don't know if you can buy a pistol.
Only your hog.
You can flog your hog.
You can flog your hog.
It's true. And they sell lube so that you don't chafe when you do it. So that's how you can support the show if you'd like to, and we would appreciate it. And if you're already doing that, thank you. Thank you very much. It is,
do
in fact,
more.
Greatly appreciated.
Oh, the Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
All right. Wow. Show's flown right by. Small town news come to us this time from the state of Maine.
Oh, good. Maine accent.
Mm-hmm. Comes to us from Holden, Maine, where 8th graders at Bay Ridge Elementary in Cutler raised money for their annual class trip and chose to visit a new paintball course in Holden.
Yay.
They did a narrative essay on what they wanted to do for the class trip, and this was number one. Darlene Wheeler, Bay Ridge principal and teacher, said Thursday as 9 students ran around the newly opened paintball course behind Maine Military Supply. The pre-K through 8th grade school has an enrollment of 55 students and held graduation on Wednesday. That's right, 55 students in...
9 classes.
Correct. The students spent Thursday at Husson University, which they used as their home base for their other adventures. This is way fun, one student said when she exited the 3-acre paintball course.
I like how Maine teenagers still sound like old Maine men. I can't even do a Maine accent, but that was funny.
It opened last week and includes a wooden castle, car, retired UH-50 helicopters as props. I love it, said another one. I got hit on the helmet, so I didn't feel a thing, 8th grader and first-time paintball player Meg Moulton told Wheeler and teacher Wayne Peters, who watched from behind a black mesh wall. It's really fun. Sometimes it's kind of difficult to see people through the required face mask, But you adjust. I could hit Connor Dennison with it.
Not Connor Dennison.
Just before the girls versus boys paintball battle, it was won by the girls.
What? Oh, yeah.
Eighth grader Ashley Porter said she thought the game was really cool. You're outdoors, there are some obstacles you can hide behind, the 14-year-old said. This was awesome. The indoor firing range will be used for training and by customers who want to try out a weapon before purchase. They hope to have machine gun rentals at some point when the range is open.
Machine gun rentals?
The paintball course is the first in the area. People have been hounding us hard about the paintball course opening. The courses are fenced off with tall black mesh and there are picnic tables at the entrance for those who come to watch. Each game has a referee, and those who are hit and therefore eliminated from the game are told to cover the end of their paintball gun and exit the field with it in the air. Protective masks must be worn at all times on the course, and those who remove theirs will be asked to leave, the main military supply website states. There are 10 acres behind the shop, and there's apparently plenty of room for expansion to more courses. The shop rents out Tippmann paintball guns, a mask, and a CO2 tank for $15, and also rents extra chest and neck protectors and coveralls for those who want to protect the clothing.
Oh, this is a very thorough article.
A field fee is $15, and all the paint must be used.
How is this going on still?
Like, I feel like at this point, they're just cutting and pasting for the website.
Must be purchased at the store. That's what the website states. Prices for the paint are not listed. Private parties can reserve the fields at a rate of $60 an hour for one field, or two fields can be combined into one course for $110.
Good God.
Paintball is open 1 hour after main military supply opens
and asleep.
Closes an hour before the business does. Business hours are 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 10 to 5 on Sundays.
Okay. Ted is taking his headphones off. Mel is asleep.
The props on the field allow for scenario play. A team from the Dexter Tri-County Technical Center played the scenario last week, where one team protected the president and tried to get that person to the helicopter before the second group waited to ambush him. They attempted to convince the Bay Ridge principal to participate in a simpler game.
Ding-dong.
But Wheeler declined. We'll protect you, 8th grader Kate Feeney said. I think I would have got dinged a couple times, the principal said with a huge smile on her face. Correction. An earlier version of this story incorrectly stated there are no other indoor firing range in the areas. There is one in the town of Appleton. And Mel, just because I was ready for you, what did you say?
I will punch you in the ding-dong.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
you know what's good for that? Licking my butthole. That's the next part of that.
Wow. So mean.
Right? That's from Step Brothers, right?
Yeah, it is. All right. What a great way to end this. So that's Small Town News, everybody. Welcome to Maine.
No one heard the end of that.
They've got a paintball course.
And a reporter who has to fill a lot of space in the local paper, I suppose.
I love that the headline to that article was like, a new paintball course draws 8th graders and others. And Ted and I were like 7th graders? Like, who are we talking about?
That was their class
Random
trip.
Random passerby.
Yeah.
I love that 55 kids in K through 8th grade. That is, in fact, Small Town News. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this episode of the Date Darling Show. We'll be back again for you Friday morning when you roll out of the rack with a fresh episode. Until then, enjoy the stylings of Swedish Hits Goes Metal and The Look. Bye-bye.
Hasta.
Bye.
Yeah.